Hello and welcome to the podcast portion of Ron Kaplan's Baseball Bookshelf, your source for news, previews, reviews, and interviews with baseball authors, artists, filmmakers, musicians, anyone who has anything to do with baseball and pop culture. Because that's our slogan, if it fits on a bookshelf, it fits here. The warm feelings about the Chicago Cubs' first world championship since 1908 has also had an impact on the world of baseball literature. To be fair, the Cubs have always been right up there when it comes to books about a team, comparable to the Yankees, Dodgers, and Red Sox, but almost for the opposite reason. A number of these titles were published not because the team has been historically successful, but because they've been so cursed, occasionally coming close, 1969 for example, but never grasping the brass ring. That changed in a hurry after their dramatic win against the Cleveland Indians, another franchise with proverbial long-suffering fans. But you have to strike while the iron is hot, so several volumes came out almost immediately after the seventh game. A couple were probably easy to produce, coming from the Chicago Sun-Times and Tribune, basically reprinting those papers' coverage of the season. Another one, due out December 6 by Al Yellen, editor of the Bleeding Cubby Blue website, is the season for the ages, how the 2016 Chicago Cubs brought a World Series championship to the North Side. I spoke with him recently about the pressure of trying to catch lightning in a bottle and produce a quality product in a very short amount of time. Al Yellen, welcome to the Baseball Bookshelf.
Thanks.
Well, congratulations, a longtime Cubs fan. Not as long as some of the people who've been waiting for decades to have their team win a championship. How does that feel?
I do have enough decades of being a fan. I went to my first game in 1963, so that's about half of the drought. I feel like I qualify as it's still kind of surreal. I watched it happen, went to most of the games, playoff games. It's still kind of hard to believe it. It really has happened.
Now, as is usually the case following the World Series, there are several books that rush to publish to take advantage of the good feelings and the fan interest. But the Cubs are something special, obviously, because they haven't been to this situation for a long time. You have one of those books. The book is called A Season for the Ages, How the 2016 Chicago Cubs Brought a World Series Championship to the North Side. When did you decide, or how did you decide, or who decided for you that this book was going to happen?
Well, this is kind of decided for me. I had written, I actually co-authored another Cubs book called Cubs by the Numbers, which is a history of the Cubs by uniform number. And we just finished doing an update. That book originally was published in 2009. We just finished doing an update through the 2015 season. That came out earlier this year. And another editor from the same publishing house approached me and asked me if I would be willing to do this, a book on the Cubs season. I got that contact in August, and basically the deal was that if the Cubs at least got to the World Series, the book would be a go. They did a similar book on last year's Mets, and of course, the Cubs now having won the World Series, it makes it a much more compelling story.
So, explain it to me. If the Cubs had not gotten to the World Series, this book would not have happened. Or would it have been a different form? Because they would have been anyway. But they had to.
At least, because even getting to the World Series, there was a drought of 71 years. Mm-hmm. So that's a compelling story in and of itself. Obviously, winning it all, and especially in the way they won it, makes it a much more interesting story.
Now, what's your day job, Al?
I'm running the SB Nation Cubs website, Bleed Cubby Blue.
So obviously, you follow the Cubs, for lack of a better word, religiously. So was it difficult to go back, since you were approached in August, was it difficult to go back to the beginning? I assume you started at the beginning of the season, or perhaps even spring training, or perhaps even at the end of last season as they were preparing for 2016. What did you do to get ready for this?
Well, the publisher sent me a copy of the Mets book that they did last year, kind of as an example of the sort of thing they were looking for. Obviously, I didn't want to do exactly the same thing because, it's a different team and different fan base and and everything like that. So, and I looked over that and decided to format it in a little bit different way, more of a chronological thing. But I also included some history of the 108-year drought and also some personal history of me as a Cubs fan. And I think, you know, that kind of thing is something that will resonate with other Cubs fans, because everybody's got a very similar story, I think, at least among people in my generation or younger, that a lot of us became Cubs fans because we were able to come home from school and watch the Cubs on TV every day as kids. And this was this happened to many people in Chicago in the 1950s and 1960s. And then when the Cubs went on national cable in the 70s and 80s, that this created, you know, a whole new group of Cubs fans, some of whom have never lived in Chicago because of the power of WGN. And so I decided to do it kind of in a chronological form, which it starts with the World Series win and then kind of goes back as a review of the entire season. You know, beyond, it was a little bit difficult to do this while I was also trying to keep the site updated on a daily basis. But, you know, that's the kind of thing you do when a job is a labor of love.
Now, who was the publisher for your first book? Was it the same one?
The same publisher, yeah.
Okay, so you have a track record with them, so they obviously came to you as their resident expert on the topic. I assume, you know, your book is coming out at the beginning of next month. Some books have already hit the bookstores. Have you seen those? These are the types that are usually printed out by the local newspapers, and they go back through their archives and just reprint stuff.
I've seen some of those, and Sports Illustrated has a similar magazine out. This is, you know, some of the things that I put in this book are based on original game posts that I made, but I didn't, you know, it didn't just regurgitate the original game recap or anything like that. I tried to weave it all into a season-long narrative.
Did you have access to the players at all, or the Cubs organization, or this is
all? No. This is. I mean, I do have some. I'm not a credentialed writer. All of this is written mostly from a fan viewpoint, which I think is a different, you know, interesting and different perspective. I have had some contact with management. They do give me some access, not to players, but, you know, questions answered by management when I need them. But mostly this book is from a fan perspective.
Because Tom Verducci, who's the senior sports writer, or one of the senior baseball writers for Sports Illustrated, is coming out with a book. There was an announcement made in the last few days. And one of the things they point out is that he had access to the players, the management, and the front office. Well, yeah, he's the Sports Illustrated. You know, that would have been news if someone like you or me had access to the team for that period of time. So the fact that a professional sports journalist doing his job has access to the team, I don't think is a huge selling point.
No, and I think, you know, one of the things that I understand about Tom Verducci's book is that it's supposed to be more of an overview of how the Cubs management and culture changed since Theo Epstein was signed. It's not just about this season, but about the entire run of Theo coming in and Joe Maddon coming in and kind of changing the whole attitude and culture of the team. So that, you know, it's his book and mine really approach this from a different perspective.
Sure. I mean, one would hope that with all the books coming out there, aside from the newspapers, which, you know, like I said, are pretty much based on what they've already done, you're hoping that all these books are coming from different perspectives. You mentioned Theo Epstein, of course, who was the general manager of the Boston Red Sox when they won their first world championship in almost nine decades. And I've done studies that the more books written about the Yankees and the Dodgers and the Red Sox and the Cubs. The Cubs, for all their lack of success, seem to do amazingly well when it comes to books. I think a lot of people have empathy for them for their failures, and the lovable loser tag also goes a long way in making them an interesting team.
Well, you know, the lovable loser tag is something that Cubs fans would like to get rid of forever. It was not the kind of thing that we here in Chicago or among the fan base took very kindly to. I know it was kind of a national media narrative, but that was never anything we liked very much. One of the reasons that I mentioned for interest in the Cubs for that kind of thing is the national fan base that goes beyond just the Chicago metropolitan area because of, I believe it is because of WGN, as I said, has created a large base of Cubs fans who have never lived in Chicago.
Now, as a Cubs fan yourself, a longtime Cubs fan, does the fact that, does that bother you? Because you have all these Johnny-come-latelys who are not really vested in Chicago culture. You know, coming out and saying, yeah, these are my team. This is my team. You know, Hillary Clinton donning a Cubs hat when she was running for office years ago. Does that kind of thing bother you? Because these are not true Chicagoans?
You know, not at all. You know, first of all, any team that wins like this is going to get its share of bandwagon fans. That's kind of a given. But, you know, a lot of these people do have, they may not be invested in the city of Chicago itself, but they're certainly invested in the team. And you know, a lot of these people first found the Cubs in the 1970s or 1980s when WGN first started becoming a national cable powerhouse. So you've got three or four decades worth of fan support among these people, even if they've never lived in Chicago. You mentioned Hillary Clinton. You know, that may have been a political expediency thing, but Hillary Clinton grew up in the Chicago area. That fandom is legitimate. What wasn't really legitimate is when she claimed to be a Yankees fan when she was running for the Senate in New York. That to me was political expediency. I think Hillary Clinton is a more genuine Cubs fan due to her growing up in the Chicago area.
So are you planning any book events, book tours for this new one?
I haven't planned anything yet. I'm leaving that up to the publicist who's working for Skyhorse Publishing, which is the publishing house. If they want me to make appearances or you know, wherever, public appearances or TV appearances, I'm certainly willing to do that. But at the moment, I don't have anything specifically planned.
Now, referring back to your first book, Cubs by the Numbers, there are a number, no pun intended, there are a number of books like that that seem to be almost obsolete as soon as they come out. I know Triumph, which I believe is based in Chicago, does a number of books like that that is, you know, are constantly in need of updating, but obviously you have to wait a while until they're willing to make that decision.
Well, the thing about Cubs by the Numbers is not just the list of players by uniform numbers, but what my co-authors and I thought was the most interesting is to tell the stories behind some of the numbers, why players chose certain numbers, who are some obscure players who wore certain numbers, some players who played for the Cubs that you might not think of as Cubs, you know, guys like Jim Edmonds, who was much more, had much more fame as a Cardinal, you know, played 1 year for the Cubs. And the stories really are the most interesting thing, more so than just the dry list of numbers.
Do you have anything... Have you gotten the bug? Do you enjoy writing books, or is that
This is really not anything I ever planned on doing. My training is actually in television. I spent 30 years as a local news television director, and took a buyout out of that business to get into writing about the Cubs full time online. And you know, something I had been doing as a hobby for a number of years, and it became my full-time work, and, you know, kind of got into the book writing business by accident when I had first read a review of Mets by the Numbers, which is done by the same publishing house, I had known that one of my Cubs by the Numbers co-authors had been keeping a list of Cubs uniform numbers for many years, and he happened to know one of the Mets by the Numbers co-authors, so... In the space of a few emails, we managed to set up with the publishing house Cubs by the Numbers back in 2008. Had the Cubs won the World Series in 2008, which they had a chance to do, that book probably would have done reasonably well. They didn't. But the publisher, you know, approached us just at the right time, I think, to do an update in 2015. And, you know, I'm hoping for good things about the Cubs by the Numbers also.
Now, a season for the ages. You say they approach you in August. When did you actually hand in the manuscript?
That's a very interesting story. The you know, obviously, I was working on this as things went by, kind of caught up to the season as the playoffs were kind of going on. And the manuscript was due the day after Game 7. So that was kind of a long night and long morning of finishing everything up and getting everything handed in, because they wanted to release the book, or at least pre-orders for the book, you know, right after the World Series ended, while interest was still very high. It's still very high. I mean, we're 2 weeks after the World Series ended, There's still tons of people buying Cubs memorabilia, all these other books.
Oh, sure.
So I think interest will still remain high. But that was that may be one of the hardest things I ever did, is trying to get that done under that kind of deadline pressure.
So I imagine, had you had, like, there's some authors who work on books for years, you know, they have the luxury of doing research and not facing that kind of dire deadline. I mean, my deadline was I had a year to write my forthcoming book, and I thought that was too short, but you had basically a couple of months.
Right, and we had that kind of deadline for Cubs by the Numbers, several months ahead of time, able to do significant research, you know, rewrites, updates, change, you know, find errors and change things. In this case, this is it's not quite the magazine type thing that you were referring to from local newspapers and Sports Illustrated and whatnot. But you know, it's from 50 plus years as a Cubs fan. This is kind of in my head. It's all in my head. A few things needed to be double checked in terms of research, but mostly this is just kind of an immediate chronicle of the season just passed. So that's most of it is fresh. Is fresh in my mind, things to double check through the online recaps I'd written, through scorecards that I had kept, so just to double check facts, and then to kind of just put all of my personal history as a Cubs fan out there. That's not anything that requires any research other than my own memories.
When you did the Numbers book, how long did you have for that?
The first Numbers book, we had about 8 or 9 months to finish that one up. The second one, it kept getting delayed. They first came to us in late August or September 2015, and it was supposed to be done by January, but it got pushed back.
Mm-hmm.
So that wasn't published until the late summer of this year. So we wound up having a little bit of extra time for that as well.
So would you like an opportunity to do another book at a more leisurely pace, or this is enough?
Sure, absolutely. No, I mean, I've kind of found that I enjoy doing it, and it's, like I said, it's not something I ever anticipated doing in my life, not anything I have any formal training in. It's just, I've always enjoyed writing, discovered I was pretty good at it, and obviously the publishing house likes what I do.
And now you do have that track record with them, so we wish you all kinds of good luck. We've been talking with Al Yellen, author of A Season for the Ages, How the 2016 Chicago Cubs Brought a World Series Championship to the North Side. Al, thanks very much for talking with us today.
Thank you for having me.
And that was our bookshelf conversation with Al Yellen, author of one of the numerous books celebrating the Chicago Cubs World Championship, their first since 1908. So that wraps up for another Bookshelf Conversation. Please visit Ron Kaplan's BaseballBookshelf.com for the latest news, reviews, previews, and interviews. If you have a question or comment or suggestion, please send them to RonKaplan'sBaseballBookshelf@gmail.com. Thanks, everybody. See you next time. I've seen Matty pitching that fader so grand. He'd have said, boys, I'm glad I discovered this land. Gee, it's a